Well, good morning. Amen. So we're going to be, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, and Darius is going to show you a quick little one-minute video.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither.
Amen. We're going to take about 4 weeks. We're going to dig deeper, no pun intended, right? We're going to dig deeper into this series that we've been going through the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm getting a lot of good positive response from it. It's not me. It's just the Lord and the Holy Spirit putting everything together. And it's a real blessing. But just to recap for 30 seconds, maybe 48 seconds. Ready? Let's pray first, though. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our visitors. Thanks for folks that are visiting with us. Lord, I ask you to bless this time that we have together. We love you, and as always, Lord, I know I repeat myself every Sunday, but it's all good. I ask you to pray for our military and keep them safe around the world, and bless our missionaries that are traveling all around the world in dangerous places, and I ask, Father, that you bless them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to be. And we'll get to it in just a minute, so hang with me. For you guys that have missed a little bit, give you a little 48-second recap. So we've been talking about Jesus told a parable to this cat who owned a garden, a big vineyard-type garden thing, you know. And so he went to this garden and he saw this tree, this fig tree, and it was not producing any fruit. You know, it was not a lot of cool things or things that's producing fruit, you know. And so this owner of this garden said, just take this tree down and throw it away. I've been coming by here every 3 years and it hasn't produced any fruit. And so the gardener said, hey, time out. Wait a minute. Says, hang on just a minute. Says, give me an opportunity to dig around the roots. Dig around the roots. Let me fertilize it a little bit. And let's give it about a year, and let's see how it goes. I think that we can help this thing, you know. And so for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been talking about what is the fertilize. Fertilize is what? Hanging around other people, reading the Word of God, all that. You know, hanging around Christian people. And then digging in the roots is maybe need a little counseling. Maybe need to study the Word of God more. And so you can learn, God can teach you how to be the man and woman that he's called you to be. You didn't have to leave. It's all cool. I understand. That's okay. I love the sounds of babies. That's cool, man. And we're having more babies coming. Amen. The church is just growing, babies and children and toddlers, and I think that's awesome. So anyway, so here we are, and we're going to go into a 4-week study and about being rooted and grounded in God's Word. And when we do that, we'll see that our lives do get better. We do have challenges, you know, that's life. Challenges come up, definitely. But when we're focused on the Lord and we're following Him, things do get better, you know. In our marriage, you know, God teaches us how to have a good marriage, how to help our children or grandchildren and those kind of things. So there's a big idea that I want to get across this morning, and the idea is this, that the seed of the gospel, which is good news, right? It's good news. The seed of the gospel is available to everyone. So I actually got distracted this morning. I was going to hand out, Lynn's got a Ziploc bag. I know, I'm forgot the men's meeting and take that off the bulletin, so I'm a little distracted. But I was going to give each one of you a California cow pee. Does anybody know what that is? Show them, man. There you go. It's California cow pee. I was going to give you that little seed and ask you to plant it one day. You can still pick up one if you want. But it's the southern version of a black-eyed pea. And there's a story behind it, but we'll talk about that later. But everyone, okay, you know, we can plant seeds with people. We can plant seeds of the gospel, the good news with everyone, no matter an individual's heart, no matter how cold, no matter how hardened a person is. We as followers of Christ, we can plant seeds in their life. Now, whether they grow or become fruitful, you know, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I mean, I'll give you a kind of silly example. Let's say that you have a coworker, and you come in the break room, and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they say, it's a lady, you know, and she said, "I don't know. My husband fell off the roof and broke his leg real bad, and he's been out of work." And then you may say, "Oh, I tell you what, we'll pray for him." And that lady turns around to you and says, "No thanks. I don't believe in that crazy stuff. I'm not religious." And then hopefully you say, "Okay, you know, I hope things work out for you." Okay. I don't want to offend anyone, but if you become one of those religious weirdos where you start trying to debate them and, you know, and start trying to prove your point, you'll make things worse. And we're talking about a person who's hard, doesn't understand anything. So it's a good idea just to say, "Okay, you know, I hope things work out for you." And then you want to start planting those seeds in that person's life. You want to start praying for them. Specifically, start praying for them. Because God brought them to you. Whether it's in the office break room or your neighborhood or whatever. And then maybe 3 or 4 or 5 days, you bump into each other getting coffee or whatever in the break room again. And you may say something like, "Hey, how's your husband doing?" She may say, "Well, he's doing all right. He's in the full cast and, you know, it's a real struggle right now. I'm working 2 jobs and cooking meals, and it's just a real struggle." And then you say, you don't say, "I'll be praying for you." We already know that's not going to fly. So you just say, "Okay, well, let me know if I can do anything for you." Then you go on. And then you do what? You keep praying for them. And keep praying for them. And about 2 days later, you make a big old baked spaghetti. And you take it into work. And you're running to each other, you know, again in the break room. You say, "Hey, I heard you last week, you know, saying that it's tough to get everything together. You know, I just want to be nice and give you this baked spaghetti and have dinner tonight." And she's going to probably go, "Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that." Now what you're doing is you're sowing seed of what? Service, of love. Love is an action word, right? So you're sowing seeds of love. You're praying for them. And now you're starting to show love. So you're not beating them over the head with a Bible. You're not telling them, you know, "God may be teaching you something through this." Be careful of that weird stuff. That's weird religious stuff. Again, if I'm stepping on your toes, maybe good. Right? But is it okay if I talk like that? You know? So you're showing us love. And then more than likely, if you're praying for them and you're showing love, not every time, but I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit's doing something behind the scenes. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, you walk in there, "Hey, how's it going?" She said, "Oh, thank you. That baked spaghetti was great." And then probably more than likely, I've seen this so many times, she may say, "You know what? One time you mentioned about praying for my husband. I guess it'll be all right. You know, that'll be okay. You know, I appreciate that." Because what's happening through that love and that prayer, you're softening the soil. You get me? I said I'm referring to my money plant. It ain't working, though. This right, Mary? This is actually called a money plant. It's really kind of cool because the what is this called down here? The trunk? It kind of twistles around. You got to keep your little tie on it. But I've been looking for Benjamin. And No money. I don't know what's the deal. Get my money back. But it's a cool little tree, and I thought I'd bring it in here to use it as a prop. Planting seeds in ourself and in others so that we can have a deep root system so that we can mature in Christ. We can become a mature Christian so we can be fruitful. The seed's ability to take root and grow when planted is dependent on the condition of the soil in one's heart. Now we, Christians, followers of Christ, I'm assuming that most of you are saved. If you're not, we need to talk about that one, right? But we have the ability to change things in our life, to make different choices as we interact with people so that we can soften their soil. So when we do plant those seeds of prayer, love, and action, and answer their questions from time to time about why you believe, that's what the Bible says. What does it say about that? Study so you can show yourself approved, so you can give an account for what you believe. See, praying for, everybody with me? Praying for and loving people softens their heart. And your connection to the kingdom of God is directly correlated, directly to the condition of your heart. You feel me? If your heart is full of love and gratitude and appreciation, then you'll love and appreciate others. If our heart feels bad, you're going to feel bad about yourself and you're going to feel disconnected from God. That's happened to me. Just because I'm a preacher, I don't mean I got it all together. I promise you. Has anybody ever happened to you before? You just kind of start getting disconnected, feel like you just, it's not going your way. If you do, make a conscious choice. Everybody hear this now. Make a conscious choice to adjust your lifestyle, to create the kind of environment where your relationship with God can grow. If you're walking around with guilt, shame, fear, it's going to be difficult for you. It's going to be difficult for your roots to get deep down and planted. And it may be time to stop doing this or quit doing that. I don't know. We're all different. We all got situations in our life. Maybe it's time that you repent of whatever sin or secrets is going on in your life. Because, you know, this is a metaphor, right? It's kind of a parable that Jesus told again. And we're getting ready to read it in a second. I remember we have this plant in my office, and we was talking about lights and how these lights sometimes, for certain people, these lights hurt your eyes and make you feel bad. And put that in the business meeting. Planted that seed, rather. That may be manipulation. I might get in trouble for that, right? Especially up here. Jesus, please forgive me. Anyway, so I was in my office. I got this plant, not Mr. Money Plant here, who doesn't produce. But this plant started kind of dying. So I would give it water. Then I'd take it outside and give it light. I give it some sunshine. Then it would do good for a while. I'd take it back in my office and it would start dying. And I couldn't figure out the water and the sunlight and all this. And finally, I bought some Miracle-Gro. Anybody ever done that before? You're just kind of struggling, and all of a sudden, okay, I'll suck it up and go buy some Miracle-Gro. And man, when I put that Miracle-Gro on my plant, whoa, I just started. And I had to give it a little less water, a little less sunshine. Sounded like an Elvis song or something, didn't it? But really, it started blossoming, getting green and flourishing and growing. It's one of them corn type, not corn plant, but it's like a coffee plant almost. But anyway, it started doing good. So I realized it was really all about the soil, you know, the nutrients in that soil was helping it. So, as I said earlier, today we're going to start a 4-week series called Rooted. And it's based on Psalms 1:3. It says that a person rooted in their faith rooted in their faith, shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do will prosper. See, guys, in order for a seed to grow and ultimately prosper, it must first be planted. Those little seeds in that bag are cool to look at, especially being a California cowpea. That's really the name. I was trying to honor Lynn, my wife's from California. So every once in a while I'll go that direction, trying to do something California. It's very difficult lately to find something good about California. But I'm going to hang in there, though. I'm a believer. But this little California cowpea, it's all cool and everything, but it means nothing unless we what? Plant it. I mean, it seems basic and elementary, because it really is, but it has to be planted. And the seed is generally planted in soil, unless you're Epcot Center at Disney World. Anybody been there and saw the hydro, you know, the plants where they just hanging in the air and it's being fertilized by the water and stuff sprayed on them? It's really pretty cool, isn't it? I like that kind of stuff. But the effect, though, on that seed has everything to do with the soil. Is there fertile soil? Is there nutrients in the soil? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9. Matthew 13, 3 through 9. We'll start there and then we'll jump around. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says this: a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. Everybody say good soil. Fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Bless you. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. And then what we'll do, Jesus does something kind of cool here. He skips like 8 verses. I think it's 8 verses. Yeah, 8 verses, and goes down to, still in chapter 13, so it goes down to verse 18 through 23. And Jesus does something here, like I said, I think it's pretty cool. He explains the meaning of this parable. Okay, and let's read that, 18 through 23. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Again, that's cool for me, because sometimes Jesus will leave it out there and you gotta, huh. You know, but he just really clears it up right here. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. So here this morning, I'm going to try to get in these 4 different scenarios of seed being spread. Amen? In this parable, right, he explains that the seed is the word of God. Okay? It's the good news of the gospel. And it's shared with love and mercy and compassion. Backed up with prayer. Okay? Soil is the heart of a person. And when you look at that word heart, again, if you, you know, hear regularly, you'll know that that means the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions of a person. Jesus makes it clear that the problems in the parable are not because of the seed, but it's because of the soil. All right? So let's take a look at this four. Here's number one, if you're taking notes. Number one. And these are the problems that come up. Number one is a hardened or oblivious heart is barren wasteland. That's what he's saying. That's what Jesus just taught us. Some people are actually opposed to the good news, and they are there who are just unaware. They're just totally ignorant about it. They're just lost. Some people reject it. Okay? Whether by personal violation or just innocent omission. The parable is clear that this seed will not grow in unfriendly soil. We can plant that seed, but if it's unfriendly soil, if it's a dry land, more than likely it's not going to amount to anything. And then the enemy can just swoop down in there real easily and just whoop, and pick up that seed and fly away. This kind of soil will never reproduce because it really can't reproduce. Unless they become born again, right? And give their life to Christ. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is calling everyone into salvation. You know, whosoever believes. But that whosoever, they have to believe. They have to make a choice to place their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That Jesus died for them on the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. See, in these folks, there is no growth. Because there is no life in that soil. They're dead. Did you guys know that all of us sitting here, some of you may be dead now. I don't know. It's not for me to judge, you know. But all of us in here right now, with the sound of my voice, you were dead. You were lost at one point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, as for you, talking about us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Everybody hearing this? You were dead. I was dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And more than likely, because I really don't know for sure about this, well, I'll tell you if I don't know for sure, but more than likely, you know, I know that God calls us, we are chosen, the Holy Spirit, calls people into salvation. But more than likely, you're saved, born again today because someone was praying for you. Someone was planting seeds in your life. They were watering it through prayer. That doesn't matter if it was a Sunday school teacher when you was 3 years old, or a teacher in school, or a youth pastor, or a neighbor, a friend, or grandparent, right? Some of you are alive today, sitting right here because of the prayers of your grandparents, your grandma, or your grandpa, or your mother, father. Someone was praying for you. Actually, can you hear me? Do you mind? Sorry. Sorry. He didn't know this was coming. I didn't either, really. Now let's look out there. Let's pretend like this is Fred. I started out funny, but it's supposed to be a serious point. So this is Fred. And let's say that Fred has done this and done that, and things have happened in his life, and now Fred has no one praying for him. Because I looked it up. There's almost 8 billion people in the world. And the thoughts of no one, not one person in the entire world is praying for Fred. Man, that breaks my heart to think about that, right? No one. There are people like that. Okay. You don't have to speak or anything. There are people like that in the world right now that literally, you know, I know that Jesus is, you know, the hounds of heaven is after people and the Holy Spirit's trying to woo people into salvation and get them saved. But just basically, there are people right now in the world that no one is praying for them. And you know, and we can't like comfort ourselves and say, oh, God, please help everybody in the world. Okay, I believe that that's a good prayer, but really, I mean, you know, I don't really know. Who are you praying for? Who are you loving? Who am I loving? Who am I praying for? You just never know. Maybe it's that coworker, that neighbor. Maybe the neighbor. Maybe the neighbor's kid got a goat. A little goat. A little 7-year-old kid got a goat. You know? You've invited him to church every once in a while, but he don't nothing to do with that religious stuff because that's just, you know, that's not for me. So you invite him a couple times that you backed off a little bit, but you're praying for your neighbor. Now his kid's got a goat. You got this favorite flower. It's on the back side of your house. Man, this flower, this little garden is awesome. All of a sudden, you come home. The little kid's goat is eating your flower. And the neighbor runs over, I'm sorry, gets the goat back in. I'm sorry. And you say, it's okay. I saw your little kid play with a goat, look like he's having fun. I can always plant another flower. And when you respond like that, with that much love and compassion, all of a sudden you just poured a whole bucket of water and Miracle-Gro and everything in that man's life. Because he was probably going to think you were going to what? Get mad and cuss him out or something, or call the police, or press charges, or shoot the goat, you know, whatever. But no, you're walking with the Lord. You have good, fertile soil. You're trying to follow Christ. And you responded with some compassion and love. So he's apologetic. You know, probably you help him get his goat back over there. Under your breath, you're going, but you know, you tried your best to turn the other cheek, as Jesus tells us, you know. I mean, these situations, they come up in our life in the craziest ways for us to help people, to minister to people, to give people grace and mercy and help their soil get a little bit more soft, you know, a little softer. So that they're, you may not even see them get saved. And the Bible says what now? It says that one plants, one waters, and God gives the harvest. Throughout my life, I wear a little pot on my head back sideways. Because I'm just Johnny Appleseed. That's what I do, just plant seeds. Where I work, my ministry, just keep planting seeds. Sometimes I get to see the harvest, you know. Amen? Number two. We're going to make it. Y'all hang with me. Number two. A troubled heart produces shallow roots. You know, life is great, especially if you're born again, but sometimes life can be a struggle. It can be long. Struggle. The journey can be difficult. A heart that is troubled by the obstacles and adversity of life will fail to produce deep roots. These individuals sometimes will get, oh, okay, God sounds cool. That sounds cool. I'll go to church a little bit here and there. They'll try it on. Try out God. Try out religion. However, without staying persistent, and allowing that soil to get nurtured and fertilized and watered and hanging around Christian folks who are like-minded. Without doing that, though, your leaves will start looking like they're dying, you know. And then pretty soon those people, they end up saying, this church thing, it just ain't for me. I bet you a lot of you folks have said that. This church thing just ain't for me. I don't, you know. It doesn't really work for me. I tried that. I've heard a lot in my career. Jesus actually warned us. He warned us about this. He warned us that, he says, in this world you will have trouble. He said, but take heart. In other words, be encouraged. Be uplifted. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. No matter what you're going through, God knows exactly what you're going through. If you trust Him, He said, trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in everything you're going through, trust Him and He'll direct your paths. Amen? Shallow roots will not sustain a person through the adverse and difficult seasons of life. It takes deep, strong roots growing in healthy soil to manage those storms in life. Amen, guys? Number three. A distracted heart bears no fruit. A distracted heart bears no fruit. A distracted heart cannot grow the roots needed to sustain life or to grow spiritually and mature. A heart that cares more for the things of the world than for the things of God, it's almost impossible to have the healthy soil to live a victorious life, to have peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that for a person who's not born again, who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, I don't know how they even make it these days. When you're more concerned about money, and I like money, we all like money, you got to have money to pay your bills and all, I understand that. Learning more even about money in the Sunday school class. But if money and status and popularity and other worldly endeavors choke out the ability of the seed to get the nutrients and the care that we really need, if that's happening, then maybe that's where we need to start changing some lifestyles. Maybe repenting of some things that's hindering us from growing. Amen? Is this okay? Hope I'm not stepping on any toes. It's not me. You got to blame the Lord about that. Right? Number four and last one. A fertile heart sustains life. A fertile heart sustains life. A heart that is fertile is one that readily accepts the gospel seed and goes above and beyond. It takes work. Your heart is open to what God wants us to do. Our heart is open to what God's will is in our life. And like someone mentioned this morning, you're still alive today because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. When we start growing and we have a fertile soil, we will start producing fruit. Not only the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are some of the fruit that we will produce. The opposite, think about the opposite of all that. We'll start producing fruit, loving people more, doing more acts of service. And here's the real beautiful thing. Jesus modeled this. It's called duplication. Then you will be able to do what? You'll begin duplicating yourself. You'll then be able to go and teach others how to help others. And you'll teach others how to teach others. Jesus really had three, right? Hung out with, loved one, had three. They threw a few more in there, and pretty soon, you know, here we are, sitting here. Healthy soil is where seeds have the most opportunity to grow into life-giving plants, trees, and flowers. I'll give you a quick example, and then I'll close. We'll go. A single healthy apple tree can bear enough fruit to feed dozens of people. Isn't that cool? Dozens of people, just one apple tree. And it gives shade for people walking around or hanging out or shelling peas. They don't shell peas anymore, do they? Butter beans. Anybody remember that? Sitting in the shade. Still got messed up thumbs right there with butter beans. Apple trees' flowers nourish thousands of pollinators every spring. So it just blesses people, blesses everything around it. And its seeds spread and multiplies. More apple trees and more apple trees. When the soil is fertile, and it's growing and it's producing fruit. So the question this morning is, what kind of soil describes your heart today? Are you indifferent to the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you needing to spend more time with the condition of your heart so that the seeds can begin to grow and you can begin to mature? Are you distracted? Are there too many things in your life clamoring for your attention and your care? If you ever have an earthly garden, you know it takes effort. You know it takes work to keep it healthy, to sustain life. It's really no different with the eternal garden of our heart, where the divine seeds that are planted can grow and then multiply. It's God's plan for our church. It's God's plan for our life. Amen? They need healthy soil and consistent care. So I want you to pray this week, what can I do? What can you do to improve the soil so that your roots can get deeper and stronger? Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this message. Lord, I pray now, and if there's anyone here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, during this song of invitation, they'll come down and I'll be glad to talk with them and pray with them. Make that decision today to serve Jesus and be the man and woman that God's called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.